It's an interesting story that Mark tells us and how Jesus came to get to this place in his ministry. Mark doesn't tell us the story of the nativity or the birth. If you went back just 14 verses, you would find that it starts with, "In the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in those first 13 verses, we have John the baptizer baptizing Jesus. We have the temptation of Jesus. And then suddenly, here we are, the call of the disciples. So Mark pushes the story along fairly fast for us. But when we get to this, Mark always is the smallest of words to possibly tell a story that you could ever have. We hear some hints about these four disciples that get called, Simon and Andrew and John and James of Zebedee. We get the sense that John and James aren't from a poor family because they left their father with the hired men. So this was a family of fairly good wealth, good fisher people. And later on, we find that Andrew and Simon have homes. So these aren't destitute people that Jesus meets at the Sea of Galilee who are looking for a different way, who want to leave behind everything that they have so that they can have a new life. These are people fairly well off, probably not really expecting this man to show up at the sea and say, "Come, follow me." But when he says it, they go. So think about that. Think about the fact that Jesus just showed up, this man of God, this man who was the good news, whose first words are the same words of John the Baptist, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent. Now, John only asked us to repent, but Jesus tells us the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And believe in the good news. So it's believe in me. Believe in me. And the first four that he calls immediately leave their lives, leave everything behind to go and follow Jesus. Now, the gospel isn't telling us that we all have to do that. That right now we have to go out these doors, leave the world we currently know, leave our lives we currently have behind, and become fishers of people. It means when you feel that call upon your life, when Jesus touches your life, and you believe that Jesus is the good news, that the reign of God is here on earth as it is unfolding, as God is calling it to unfold, if you believe that, then you're going to leave some things behind so that you can proclaim that message right where you are. So what are some of the things that we, as followers of Jesus Christ, choose to leave behind? Or what are the things we don't want to leave behind? So when we feel that tugging on our lives, to repent, to turn, to move in a different direction, to move in a direction that goes towards God, not away from God, what are those things that are hard to leave behind? And most of them aren't the houses we live in, the cars we drive, the food we eat. Most of them have to do with that inner part of who we are as people. One of the things we might have to leave behind is certainty. We cannot be certain of anything in our lives. The only certainty that we can have is God is God, and God's will be accomplished, and the world will be as God is proclaiming it will be, and Christ is the one that is leading the way. That's the only certain thing we can have in our life, that God is here with us right now. So we have to leave behind that we can be certain about. We can't even be certain about the weather. Weather people can't even be certain about the weather. There is nothing in life that we can be certain about, except God is with us and God is love. That is the only certainty, and we have to leave the desire to be certain about anything behind. Another thing we have to leave behind is our desire to be in control. How many of you like to be in control? Okay, I'll admit it. Yeah, even there in the men's breakfast this morning, I wanted to be in control of where they put the pans away, because they didn't quite understand where I wanted the pans. Control and our desire to be in control of things, in control of people, has got to be left behind, because the only one who is in control of the world and the universe is God. And when we let go of control or our need to control, then we are free to follow Jesus. It is something we get to leave behind. Don't you feel freer already? Don't your shoulders just feel a little bit easier that you don't have to be in control? You don't have to be certain of anything, that doubt is okay, and that having someone else in control is okay. Those are things we get to leave behind. Another thing we get to leave behind is that belief that we're not worthy. We are. When you first begin to wonder, am I worthy of God's love? Yes, you are. Any thought of being unworthy of God to love you, of Jesus to die on the cross for you, gets to be left behind when you believe the good news that God and Jesus Christ are one, and that Christ came for your salvation. You can leave behind any sense of your unworthiness, because you are fearfully and wonderfully made just as you are. Another thing we get to leave behind is that sense of order, that we have to have life in order, because chaos is what we normally exist in. We don't see it as chaos often, but I don't know. If I went to Washington right now, I think I would see a picture of chaos. But God ordered the universe. The one who brings order into our lives is God. We get to leave that sense of order behind. So when we leave it all behind, what happens? What happens? We become free to be followers of Jesus Christ. We become free to proclaim the good news. We become free of the things that bind us. So another thing that binds us that we need to leave behind is unforgiveness. That bitterness and unforgiveness that seems to bind us up and be like Lazarus, who came out of the tomb alive because Christ called him out, but he was still bound by those claws that they wrapped him in. Bitterness and unforgiveness wraps us up and wraps us up tight. And that's one of the things that Christ died so that we could be free of those bondages and they could be left behind. Last week I talked a little bit about Danny and why he left the church. And Saturday we memorialized Danny. And the man who had said the words that had sent Danny and his family from the church stood in the sanctuary and proclaimed that words hurt. No matter how we mean to use them, if they hurt another, we have to pay attention to that. And we have to ask forgiveness for words that hurt, even if we didn't intend the hurt they caused. I sat there and said, praise the Lord. I didn't say it out loud, but I was praising God that he was willing to testify to the pain and suffering he had caused a family. He was willing to proclaim his part in a brokenness. And I saw a freedom come upon him that he had not had. He knew they had had a private conversation and that forgiveness had happened on a private level. But he also needed to proclaim to the church that pain and suffering he had caused another by the words he had used. What we get to leave behind is bitterness and unforgiveness when we accept the love and forgiveness and reconciliation and salvation of Jesus Christ. Christ says in these very short passages, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe in the good news. So we know that Andrew, Peter, James, and John went. They immediately left behind the lives that they could have had for the lives that they were going to have following Jesus. And the world was changed by their choice to leave it behind. But they also left behind people, didn't they? They left their father, and who knows who Andrew, and they don't tell us who Andrew and Simon left behind, but we know Simon left a mother because she got sick, and Jesus had to heal her. We might be the people sitting in the pews, and there might be some from our pews that go out and become ministers, that become called into a set-apart ministry for God. But because we are physically left behind does not mean that we aren't called to be disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. That we can't be that place where people come in and we're sort of like the fishing ground where they come in, or maybe we're the pond that develops the fish that people fish in, or who knows what we are as the body that is here who are followers of Jesus Christ and who choose to proclaim that good news to everyone they meet, to proclaim you are fearfully and wonderfully made and God has a plan and a purpose for your life, but you don't have to worry and carry all the things that you are carrying because God's got it. You just follow. God's got it. You just follow. But somehow Rick Edwards comes to my mind because Rick and I had a conversation in the hospital about fishermen and about good fishing grounds and about some people are very good at good fishing grounds and others are not. And I heard another story about Danny who took his daughter's boyfriend out fishing. Now that would have been scary to go out fishing with your girlfriend's father alone on the river, and how they patiently waited and then the fish came. And he said it was the biggest catch he had ever had. And Rick tells me about his adventures catching fish and how everyone wants to know where Rick Edwards goes fishing. As followers of Jesus Christ here in this community, we know where the fertile grounds are, don't we? We know where the people are who need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. We know where we need to be to proclaim the good news. We just need to go there and proclaim it. But it's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to leave on Sunday and go on Monday either to the place we work or the place we live or the place we study and proclaim Jesus Christ. And now I'm not saying that you walk in the morning. Darlene, you do not have to walk into work tomorrow morning and go, repent and believe in the good news. No, you don't have to do that. You might want to, yeah. There might be some places we definitely want to do that. But you can proclaim it in a whole different... She can't help but laugh. She's laughing way too hard over here. But we can do it in the way we live and breathe and work and study. And then when the opportunity comes and someone says, why are you so happy? And you can say, I am so happy because I have this friend and his name is Jesus. And you want to know about this friend named Jesus, what he told me? He told me I'm fearfully and wonderfully made and that he loves me. And guess what? So are you. And I want you to come and get to know my friend named Jesus and begin a relationship so that you can be catching people the way Peter and Andrew and James and John were called to catch people. We don't have to be in a set-apart ministry to do that. We just have to be followers of Jesus, willing to leave behind the things that bind us so that we can be free in Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.